right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 23 preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm, and Craig in Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
I'll be doing a heck of a lot better if you win this week in the Listener League, man. I'm my hope's right on you.
I am definitely trying my hardest, and my goodness, Weiss, guys, is just rolling. He has definitely got the games played advantage, and we'll see. Yeah, it'll be tight all the way through, which is exactly what we want our leagues to be as well. We don't definitely actually the tightest league I've played in and competed in, where we had our first playoff clinch in week 21.
Was it like week 21, or something? Like super late.
Yeah, super late. And yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. It's fantasy hockey. A lot of things can happen. Yeah, I guess the other big one too would be that it really depends on when playoffs start in your particular league. Most should be starting next week. But yeah, it's kind of wild to consider. Like, actual NHL playoffs is going to start soon in less than a month.
Oh, yeah.
To think all these weeks later in the fantasy pod kind of makes you step back and think a little bit every now and then. We'll start where we always do, back in the infirmary.
Hey! Forgive my candor. I just felt my spleen slip out of what was my anus.
I mean, Alan, you want to take the first one?
Yeah, so Sam Bennett didn't play two nights ago and is considered day-to-day. Looks like Anton Lundell slides up to that 2C position. He didn't do anything with it in that game. I mean, I like the deployment, right, next to Matty Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, but I don't know. I don't trust him as well as Sam Bennett to actually do anything with that deployment.
I'm going to have to say, too, it's a strong Florida team, right? I mean, actually, at the same time, they got pumped was a 4-0 a couple nights ago, so that was a little rough, but I don't even know if there's an immediate pickup with him aside, right? Even, like, Evan Rodriguez, who's also the fantasy unicorn, is out, and Tarasenko's not up and down the line, right? So, yeah, it's sometimes tough when there's the next man up doesn't play to his fantasy relevance with a guy that was gone. But yeah, Sam Bennett, definitely on the injury report. Another guy that's day-to-day in a similar boat as well is Joel Eriksson Ek. He's day-to-day with a lower body injury. Maybe I misspoke because it says Ryan Hartman is the top C now, and he's got 5 points in 5 games, so...
I know, right? It seems like most of the time he gets that and doesn't do anything with it. But I think Boldy is cooking right now, so I think he's for it. Well, Minnesota's playoff schedule in weeks 23-25 is a little iffy. But I mean, if you have an injury, I would pick up Ryan Hartman over Anton Lindell. Like if we're trying to replace that Sam Bennett production or someone else that's injured, yeah, Ryan Hartman. Worth a look.
Yeah, and absolutely, since Ryan Hartman's also center right wing eligible. Yeah, so he doubles the amount of slots, and then further, he's only 26% owned. So, not that Lundell is much higher owned either, but yeah, Ryan Hartman, 26% ownership, line one, power play one. I don't know how long Jeek is slated to be out for, but lower body injury at this point, like, they're not going to reveal too much.
I think they're chasing a spot, so they may try to hurry him back.
Yeah, I guess, and that's the other way you can look at it, which is even while they are looking for a spot, if there was a tiny minor injury, then he'd probably play through it just to try to force a win. And if he's not able to play through it, then it probably might be something more bothersome. And if it's too bothersome, it might be something quite serious. We'll see.
And then John Drouin, oh man, my favorite player. It was a late scratch Wednesday night with a lower body injury. Looks like Duhaime, who was acquired from, I think it was Minnesota at trade deadline. He slots into line two with Mittelstadt and Nichushkin. And now Mittelstadt is on power play one, which makes him very spicy. Hopefully you weren't holding Drouin at this point, but Mittelstadt is another guy like, yeah, you lost Sam Bennett or something. You just need a player to fill in. Mittelstadt, yeah, man. Line two with Nichushkin, who can certainly provide you some offense. And then that power play one on Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness. And at 29% ownership, he's probably the only power play one guy you can feasibly access on that stacked Avs team, given that he's only center eligible. Check to see if he's available to be, if he can fit in your roster first, and if he doesn't, then adjust accordingly. But in just on paper, yeah, that's incredible. 29% Avs power play one. I want that. Now, the next bit of injury news is interesting. So it says Gabe Vilardi has an enlarged spleen and is out indefinitely. Now, the last one we heard with a spleen injury was, I believe, Mark Stone, who had
So Gabe Vilardi did it wrong. He needed to be out before the trade deadline so the Jets could load up.
Right, right. But this time...
he did it wrong.
But this time, instead, with his enlarged spleen, not a lacerated spleen, I've honestly never heard of spleen injuries listed officially on NHL.
Dude, and I'm wondering if it's we gotta rein in these cross checks, man. I feel like that's what's doing it. These guys are taking bad cross checks.
Yeah, it's definitely not a great look. Like a spleen is, I don't even know. We were doing the anatomy check and we were looking around and Googling and we said this is like internal injury functionally.
It's an important organ, people. You don't want to.
Yeah, it's
no, you don't want to mess with spleen injury.
It's no gallbladder or appendix, to be sure. But yeah, definitely monitor the Winnipeg Jets because with.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's been out for a minute already. So all those guys, you know, Iafallo, hopefully you had Toffoli already. Ehlers would be out there. It's kind of the same crew we've already been working with. I don't think there's much there that's changed. And then Mitch Marner, this one hurts me a little bit. Still out with what is being called a high ankle sprain now. Looks like Pontus Holmberg is on line one with Matthews. And Bertuzzi is now back on power play one, which I think makes Bertuzzi a little bit more interesting pickup. Because I think he was already on line one with Matthews. And now he's on that nice Leafs power play.
But is he taking again Tavares's power play one slot?
No, Tavares is back on. He was I forget how many games they put Bertuzzi up there. But now it's just he's taking Marner's spot on the power play.
Yeah, and I think that definitely with a good week 23 schedule is, that's immense value.
Yeah, I think we'll get into that. But yeah, I think Toronto has one of the better schedules for next week. So
absolutely.
Probably worth a Bertuzzi would be the one that's worth a snag.
Do you want to head into the schedule analysis?
Yeah, sure. Let's take it away. Of note, Sunday the 24th is not considered an off night. It's got 20 teams playing, which is more than half the league. So for best schedules, the Washington Capitals have 4 games, 3 on off nights. Seattle has 4 games, 2 on off nights. And then Buffalo, Carolina, and Toronto all have 4 games with 1 off night. And then honorable mention to Arizona and Dallas. They have 3 games, but 2 of them are on off nights. Worse schedules, good God. Like it's like half the league has 3 games all on busy nights. It's Anaheim, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, Montreal, Nashville, New York Rangers, San Jose, St. Louis, Vancouver, and Vegas. And then for streamer suggestions, points leagues. Honestly, I think any one of those guys on Seattle's, quote, third line. So Eli Tolvanen, Bjorkstrand, and Yanni Gourde. I would say in that order, they're all less than 30% owned. And then, I put this on there not knowing what was going to happen the next game. But I think Kuznetsov, man, I know he's center only 12%. But he's line two with Gensel and power play one. Just had his first goal with the Hurricanes last night. And then I really didn't want to recommend a Capital at all because I really don't like their strength of schedule. But if you're going to grab someone, I guess probably TJ Oshie, 12% owned right wing. He's going to get that top six deployment, power play one. He did have a fluke goal against Seattle. Last night. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe this is his hot streak and I've called it for you ahead of time. Goalies, Casey DeSmith, at least when I made my notes, he's probably a little bit higher now. Probably just go check. But Casey DeSmith, he's the guy with Thatcher Demko out. And it sucks because, you know, right as everyone is probably picking him up, he gets, you know, 3-0 lead against the Avs. And then the Avs come back, 4 unanswered goals. Bullshit. Grubauer, Seattle, 44%. Probably sees 2 to 3 starts against some reasonable competition next week. And then Scott Wedgwood. Dallas has 2 games against Arizona next week. It wouldn't surprise me if he sees both those, especially with Dallas, I think, pretty firmly in a playoff position, if I had to guess. I haven't actually looked at the rankings.
They're top of the Central with the Avs.
Yeah, they'll probably want to rest Ottinger going into playoffs or give him a little bit of a break. Big boy bangers. Bobby McMahon just signing that extension in Toronto. Center left wing, 7%. Provides consistent hit and shots, and you know what happens when you shoot a lot. Sometimes it makes it in the back of the net. Garnet Hathaway for Philly, right wing, 15%. 19 hits in his last 2 games, which is crazy. Like, that might have won some people hits for the week. Philly has 4 games with no off nights, but right wing kind of being a little scarce, especially for, you know, maybe for a categories league, that's a little bit more helpful. And then Nick Abe Kubel of Washington, a solid source of hits from a guy who should easily kind of fit in the schedule there with the 3 off nights. And then I'll hand it over to Jay.
I guess, like, certain teams you want to early target hold, building on what Alan was mentioning too, would be Carolina and Washington, who play late into the week 22 and then also hold good schedules for week 23. So in Carolina, just several names to mention. Like, I think with the acquisition of Gensel, obviously, and the loss of Bunting, the one standard guy we always advise to pick up as a winger is gone. Teuvo Teravainen is probably the only other guy that's even hovering close to waiver wire eligible in the top 6. He's at 53% still, though, so it's a pretty decent chance he's owned up as well. But he gets power play 2 time. He's dual eligible. Check to see where he is. If, like, a deeper cut in terms of maybe like a face-offs league, like Jordan Staal, 6% owned. Line 3 only. He doesn't get any power play time. I sometimes wonder, with his time on ice being so low, if he seems to just take the draw and then rush off the ice. I've wondered at times.
There are guys who do that. I would say that's probably his role.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely only a face-offs league, I would say. If you're expecting more production beyond that, it's kind of iffy. Jacob Slavin, right, gets D1 pairing time at 31%. And notably, since Freddie's been back, he has not taken over the entire line's share of starts. Kochetkov seems to have been splitting starts with Freddie, so I would still say Freddie is probably the 1A. But Kochetkov, I would reasonably say, would be the 1B. They're both pretty owned up. I think Kochetkov's like a 63%, and Freddie, I think, is a 77%. But just, yeah, monitor. This is basically kind of like the Ullmark and Swayman light version in Carolina. And I mean, honestly, with how the other teams are winning and doing, won't blame them. But that's fantasy relevant to monitor, because even if there is no back-to-back, they probably will still trade their starts. Washington has a number of players in terms of their schedule that's just really good. They play 3 straight off nights, and they play on Sunday as well. Just a couple of guys to mention. There's Tom Wilson. He's at 45% right wing. He plays on the power play too now, but he just hits and bangs. Dylan Strome, still their top goal scorer, gets power play 1 as the center. A deeper cut, Beck Molenston. He gets basically only, he's a left winger at 1% ownership with only line 4 time, but he gets just a ton of hits, right? He's got 184 hits in 64 games, so that's just like in and around 3 hits a game. That's pretty good each night. Rasmus Sandin is at 14% ownership with D2 power play 2 pairing. Obviously, Alan mentioned TJ Oshie, power play 1, just to see with a good schedule. A real deep cut in terms of power play 1 that's interesting is Hendrix Lapierre. So he seems to have played most games as well, and he hasn't done necessarily a ton throughout the sample size of the entire season, but with line 3 power play 1 right now, playing with Ovi at 2% ownership, if this is a really deep league, pretty deep chance to try to see where he's at. Now, in terms of goaltending, both Both goalies in Washington have now dropped below the 50% ownership mark, and I would say this week is definitely the week to try to own one of them.
Is it though? Hold on. Let's look at their schedule here real quick. So Monday, they're on the road against Calgary. That's manageable. Sure. Like, I would take a Lindgren start there. Wednesday, they are at home against Toronto. And then Friday, they're at home against Carolina. And then Sunday, they're at home against Winnipeg. I mean, they have home ice in those three games, but yeah, that's a killer's gallery of teams there after Wednesday on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would take Washington goalie after Monday.
Yeah, that's a toughie. I mean, we know they will most likely get a bunch of volume shots. Like, Carolina suppresses tons of shots and creates tons on their own. It's not unfeasible, but I would definitely say the odds are stacked against you that they're going to come out with 4 wins out of 4 games against those opponents. Just to monitor, if you're running a 0G strategy, you're probably going to be picking up slim scraps, and Washington is worth, in terms of the pieces, mangling something together to get you some starts, especially with their low ownership and especially with a good off night schedule. But yeah, Alan's right. Their opponents are rather tetsy, I suppose you can describe them as. Now, there's no ads to be made without equivalent drops, and so we're going to just touch on, I guess, quickly. Alan, you can even touch in on some of the players that hop into mind for some of these teams. So the teams we'll cover quickly for teams that are playing only on heavy nights, so there's a decent chance they'll be... You will already have players in your lineup, and you can't fit these guys in. Chicago, Detroit, Montreal, the Rangers, San Jose, and St. Louis. My gut thinking with Chicago at this point is, honestly, aside from Connor Bedard and arguably Seth Jones, like every Hawk is droppable. I would even say in certain leagues, like, Connor Bedard has gone on an absolute tear in the past week, but do we foresee this slumping Hawks team that just got recently eliminated to play even better for the remainder of the season?
I mean, they had a little bit of an offensive outburst there in their last few games, but I really don't bank. And I could even see, like, Connor Bedard stubs his toe, they shut him down for the season. Like, yeah. What are they playing for?
Yeah, and I think that part where, like, aside from Bedard saying, I really, really want to secure my Calder trophy, like, aside from that, there's really no reason. Shutting down, like, an elite player that is young, that's had his NHL experience. I mean, I think it's not impossible, and you don't want that to happen during your fantasy playoffs. So Chicago, definitely target drop everyone. Even Bedard and Seth Jones, I wouldn't say, are untouchables in a redraft league. And heck, if you're listening to in a dynasty league and you're hearing me say drop.
I was going to say, yeah. Obviously, know your league format. Know that if you drop Bedard in, like, a keeper dynasty, he will get snatched and you will look like an idiot.
Right, and, like, even if I said to drop him, please don't follow my advice in a dynasty or keeper league. Detroit is an interesting one because I am going to say something probably a little more dicey, and that is Detroit has a lot of players that are currently very highly owned, right? You have Seider, DeBrincat, Larkin. And I'd say right now with Larkin, if you look at the news, they stated that he is not playing this week 22 weekend, but he is going to start practicing after this weekend's slate of games are over, which means he's...
Sounds like he skated a little bit this morning and then just left before everyone else went on. So, progress.
It's definitely not something that's incredible for him, and especially if you're running into the quarterfinals and you need the wins, holding on to Dylan Larkin without an IR plus slot, obviously slot him into your IR plus, but
he's also a guy I could see them rushing him back since Detroit's kind of in the race, because I mean, without that team, is they're on a nosedive right now.
Yeah, they've lost what, 7 straight games. It is a tough time. Maybe this is where you, as the manager, you're making your decisions, right? Would you say let's say Dylan Larkin's at 70-80% fitness and health, and would you want him? Maybe that output could be enough to make the difference for you. But regardless, if you don't have an IR plus slot, like, this is the level of player where you could still be thinking, if they're injured now, I need the points now, and he might not get it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if DeBrincat, Kane, Seider, probably still worth holds. Ghost Bear, maybe depending on how thin defense is on the waivers. But other than that, yeah, like Raymond, drop. Yeah. Was it Comfer, drop. Sprong, I think, is injured or something.
Yeah.
Day-to-day, so he's a drop. Lion and Reimer, I don't know if I trust them because they may be good in net, but they're struggling to score goals right now, which means they're not going to get wins for you.
Yeah, David Perron, I think we mentioned as well. But yeah, it's just... Detroit's got a bunch of players past the top three, four, probably three guys. And aside from that, you really should consider whether or not and look ahead to see if you can fit them into your schedule. Fit them into your roster. The next team would be Montreal. Montreal is still a pretty heavy team, I would say, like top heavy at least. You have your Cole Caulfields. You're not going to drop him. Mike Matheson, Nick Suzuki. But anyone else?
I think Slavkovsky's cooled off. Like, he's probably droppable.
Yeah. So Slavkovsky, like, who else?
Matheson is amazing in, like, any sort of banger's weight league.
Right.
Power play one, like undisputed.
Like, Alex Newhook, I would say. Like, probably he gets power play one time, but, you know, reasonably, he's, like, you can let him go.
I was going to say, yeah, he's the fringe guy. Like, I would rather tell you to pick up a Washington player at that point than hang on to Newhook. But yeah, but someone like Caulfield, Suzuki, Matheson, those are probably the only guys you can keep. Jake Allen's out of there, so it's probably Montembeau getting most of the starts.
Yeah, it looks like they're running like a 2-1-2-1 sort of setup with Kaden Primeau getting like, I guess, one out of every three starts. Honestly, either of those guys, right? Montembeau is 22% rostered right now. I wouldn't say like you need to diamond hands Montembeau either. Like, if you need to squish another start in there, like, feel free. The Montreal net is definitely worth considering on the drop as well. I guess even like on the Rangers, they have a 5-game week this week, and so everyone's probably owning them up. But Lafreniere, like, he's exactly the fringe top six guy, right? So just as you scramble to pick him up, and he could reasonably be let go at 41% ownership right now. The other guy, probably what, Condrey Miller?
Jack Roslovic. I know he popped off. He had a goal and assist in that one game, but he's not gonna sniff top power play. And I wouldn't rely on his time on ice consistently being like 15, 16 minutes.
Jeez, yeah. Will Cooley as well, I'd say. Like, I know that's deep, deep cut, and like some might not even have him, but he's definitely worth drop at this point. And the classic, Jonathan Quick, right? He's not taxied up and down as into the AHL, but on your actual fantasy roster, he takes the elevator service up and down constantly because simply we won't get the starts if they, like, New York right now is punching for top spot, I think, in the Metro. They need the wins, right? And so I think they will ride Shesty as far as they can go. The last two teams, San Jose and St. Louis. So San Jose, I really think, is just everyone is droppable.
Everyone's
droppable. The only team, only player you mentioned, Alan, I think, was
Mikael Granlund. I forget what I think San Jose was one of the three teams all on busy nights.
Yeah.
I know Granlund has center right wing, but I bet all Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're making some tough calls. I don't think Granlund is someone you want to play over anyone else you probably drafted or have held on to the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're not going to lean Granlund, no matter which decision you are, you might lean between other players, but Granlund shouldn't be factoring into that mix. San Jose players are prime drops at this point. St. Louis is an interesting one because St. Louis actually has, I guess, like, there are a bunch of players that have punched above weight, but I'm looking at their rankings overall, and maybe not. Maybe all their players are just kind of mid. Like, Robert Thomas right now is at 77% ownership. He's ranked 100th in our listener league. Oh my goodness, he's at 15 hits all season. That's it. He just probably doesn't do much peripherally in that way, and so he scores a bunch of points, but Robert Thomas would be a consideration sitting around here with the center depth.
I mean, I don't know if I drop him, but maybe I know, like, Braden Schenn is line one right now. He's got some bangers use, but I don't know, like, Rob Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, those are probably the two guys I could see hanging on to. A Tory Krug, I guess defensemen are easier to slot in than forwards, but I don't know how much I trust anyone, really.
I guess if we were harping on St. Louis specifically in the schedule, then I guess, yeah. Let's say the 70% guys, so it's what, Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Pavel Buchnevich, you know, just...
Oh, yeah, Buch didn't get traded. Yeah, Buch is the other guy I would hang on to.
Yeah, so trust, I guess, the crowd, so to speak. Hold them on and see what they do. Buchnevich and Kyrou, I think, have the added benefits of both being dual. Kyrou, a center right wing.
All right, let's look at their schedule.
Yeah.
Home against the Avs on Tuesday. Thursday against the Sens. I like that one. Saturday against the Wild. That's a divisional game.
Yeah, it's...
I like the Ottawa and Minnesota games, not so much the Avs game.
Yeah, it's one where definitely look through and check your own standings and check your own rankings as well for how these players count. For example, in our leagues, we are extremely heavily biased toward the Bangers Cats, right? The shots on goals, the hits, and the blocks. And so a guy like Robert Thomas, who's having a functionally career point-producing season, is still lower ranked than Colin Parayko in our setup, where, you know, Colin Parayko just loads up on all the hits and blocks and shots. So it's one where you need to be familiar with your own category. You need to be familiar with your own league setup and settings. Definitely St. Louis has a bunch of juicy players that are in consideration for functionally non-rosterable nights anyway. And so if they're not adding to your lineup and they're not adding onwards, even in week 23, I'm even going to glance ahead to week 24, and yeah, I don't think St. Louis has anything to write home about week 24 either. Like, these are the kinds of players where they teeter in the brink and balance, and you should consider even the big, big, heavy name, juicy name, everyone's going to play on the same schedule as you too. So it's not necessarily like that they'll be able to be slotted in on other lineups either. You got to target some players that can actually play. We're now going to move on into the Win Your Week Early section, where we're going to talk about some teams where you can load up onto them and check to see if you can add these guys on. So in terms of winning your week early, week 23 is... There's only one team with the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, and that's Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, again, has many top-heavy players. I'm even going to mention a guy he's above 50% owned, but he's been dropping drastically in terms of his ownership rate. I remember seeing him hovering around 80, maybe even 82% early on in the season. He's now at 57%. Dylan Cousins, center right wing, line two, power play one. I'm not going to mince words here. I've seen him do precious little. I mean, the schedule and his deployment should hypothetically offer more opportunity. So maybe it's going to take, there were some trade acquisitions. Maybe there's something, right? But at 57% compared to 82%, getting line one access, yeah, like just check to see if he's available. And if you can fit him into your lineup, you probably can for early points. JJ Paterka should be more widely available. He's only right wing eligible, but he's 13% owned. He's on the third line. He gets power play two. Grab him on, nab him, and see what can be done, especially he's probably even discardable past the week 23.
Nope. I'm going to stop you right there. Week 24, Buffalo is one of the few teams that actually has like off nights. So if you get like a Dylan Cousins or the next guy, Bowen Byram, like you hold on to those guys for life. And I bet if Bowen Byram's available, like he might even be better than like your fourth defenseman. Craig and I beat that horse last episode, but he's definitely someone who could absolutely be a difference maker for you.
It's definitely one where like look to see what happens, but I always abide by the mantra that your semifinals only matter in as much as your quarterfinals are won. So definitely monitor to see if you're in a real tight matchup and you can maximize extra games after having an early back-to-back. No fear, you know, play around there, add some other players in. And obviously, if you have the luxury, you know, like let's say you have a comfortable 50, 60 point lead and, you know, you're just rolling through and you're able to look ahead at week 24, then go by all means, you know, hold on. But yeah, so Bowen Byram, I think, is probably, as you mentioned, Alan, the big value play here. He's at 50% ownership, D1, power play one. You almost feel for Owen Power when you look at these stats here. Like,
right. Yeah, it's weird because like even I was listening to 32 Thoughts, and between like Buffalo and even the Avs, like there was a lot of talk that, yeah, man, like this guy's going to move on from Colorado one day. Like, he's going to be someone's, like, number one defenseman. I don't know if it's Buffalo, but he is definitely a shot in the arm for that team right now.
And definitely, you got to think, like, Owen Power, my goodness, you got to play your way up, bud. Like, my goodness.
I know, he could be the new Bowen Byram to Bowen Byram. Like, he's just stuck behind Dahlin and Byram.
Yeah, definitely. Notable mention for Buffalo here, like, congratulations to any UPL holders diamond handing him, because my goodness, a 71% now, that ship has long sailed, but pretty incredible to think that at one point in the league, I think he was 20%, hovering around 20%.
I don't know about their schedule next week though, man. Like, okay, Seattle, sure. Then on the second half of the back-to-back, Vancouver and then Edmonton, like... And then, yeah, Calgary on Sunday, but those Vancouver Edmonton games, I don't know.
Yeah, you're really hoping that he doesn't face Vancouver in the latter half of the back to back first, and then you're really hoping he puts up like a stonewall defense against the Oilers. But yeah, the odds don't necessarily scream in that favor. But Buffalo's that team, right? The only Week 23 Monday Tuesday back to back team, so they're a great early team to snag some points, lock in some points, some production, and then afterwards you can more openly scan your week for streams later. Later teams that are great to own throughout the week, Washington we covered as well before. And I guess, like, listen back for those guys, because they play on the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday off nights. So that would be a good team to hold for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then I would drop. Given the quality of the Washington players are a little bit iffy compared to some other players, I would drop the Washington player that you streamed for any team that could play a Week 23 back-to-back. Right? And that way you get a five-game week from a streaming spot. Other teams that also have back-to-backs that are relevant probably in the early portion of the week are the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-backs. So three teams are worth mentioning there. There's L.A., Minnesota, and Toronto. Ellie's got a couple of guys to dive into. So there's Matt Waugh. He's only D2 eligible, but guy's at 31% owned and is triple. He's got a triple-triple, I guess, if you're going to go shots, hits, and blocks. Yeah, he just does everything peripherally. Worth rostering, honestly, with Ellie needing to win games, obviously, to keep their playoff. I think right now they're third in their division, but... It's really, if anything, a matter of, you know, like a neck and neck race with Vegas and LA, and you want LA players in that setup. Philip Deneau is another guy at 28% ownership with power play two time. He's only the center eligible. They're kind of like guys that will get you solid production. You can expect probably three shots, two or three hits, maybe a block or two every game. I don't know about necessarily point production every game, but they're definitely the core backbone, I guess, like a solid streamer as opposed to, I guess, a high upside streamer. It's like a high floor streamer, but the high upside streamer still exists on LA, and that's Quinton Byfield, right? He's 49% owned. He's a fantasy unicorn with all his forward eligibilities. He's getting line one power play one time, and yeah, everyone remembers that goal back in... Frick, I don't remember if that's end of January, beginning of February. But yeah, Quinton Byfield, he's definitely, I think, the guy to own for the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. Minnesota, we mentioned Jeke being out and Ryan Hartman being his pickup, 26% ownership, center right wing, make sure you take him. Jake Middleton, again, depending on your bangers stats, but Jake Middleton at 7% is always a good cut for some back-to-back action. Toronto... is really a matter of, yeah, picking up Jake Bertuzzi, 17% left wing, power play 2 was what was stated before, but as Alan mentioned, yeah, with the injury to Marner, he's been now slotted up to power play 1, so other power play 2 slots that could potentially, I guess players that could potentially slot up into Bertuzzi's vacated power play 2 slot are now open. You can consider Matthew Nyes. He's a 10% left wing, power play 2. Max Domi, center left wing eligible, also gets power play 2. Aside from that, I think Toronto is probably mostly owned up. Like, I didn't even check the Toronto goalie situation right now, but I'm pretty sure it's just Samsonov's net.
Yeah, I just saw an amazing stat. Like, after being recalled from the AHL, he's like 13-2 with like a 914 save percentage, like 2.3 something goals against. Like, he's... whatever was between the ears that was wrong is now fixed.
Yeah, and I mean, Martin Jones is not going to challenge him. Joseph Wall's having a tough go. What's that, two straight games with four goals against? Yeah, it's just basically just Samsonov's net. And I would say, too, like, Joseph Wall, if that's the guy that you're targeting, like, he's probably good for the second half of that back-to-back. But afterwards, like, you can definitely consider dropping Wall as well. He's not going to be, you know, the literal wall that will keep you in, you know, fantasy relevance and contention. But yeah, aside from that, I guess these are our week 23 strategy setups, at least for the early portion of week 23. I guess I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to go ahead and wrap for tonight. We're going to go ahead and park the van cab. As always, we ask everyone out there in listener land who absolutely shows up for Sit Start Saturdays from 11 to 12 Eastern to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that's in the show notes. And again, the Five Hole YouTube channel is where we do our Sit Start Saturdays. If you need any advice on who to start over someone else, come on in. We do it live. All that's in the show notes. If you haven't already, come join us in the Five Hole Discord. Over 2,500 people talking about fantasy hockey. You can always, during the week, leave your sit start questions there, get trade advice, or talk about books. Good luck and good hockey this week, and thanks for listening.
We'll pick you up later.